She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
No, I love the husband. He was the redeeming point.
There's no bottom.
Human to tuba ratio is off.
All right, besties. This season of Book Besties is proudly sponsored by Carpe Librum.
The one and only
Carpe Librum. Bookish whoop, things whoop. For bookish people. So keep love checking it. Our social media and listening all season long for special perks and merch that you can get using discount codes.
Did you know what I learned?
What?
They make one of the coolest freaking bookmarks on the market.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
They have a 13-step process that is like a propriety to them.
Oh, and yeah. I've seen them on the knockoffs on Amazon. They fall apart. Oh,
I have some knockoffs and they dent your book. So, so I haven't had a chance to check their bookmarks out yet, but I have
four
of their shirts. They're very comfy. They're all sizes.
Oh, I love their shirts.
They do not shrink. They're made at their home shop. They screen print by hand.
My favorite part of their shirts is it looks like I could get tetanus from the typewriter that they use to make the font.
There's definitely like a real gritty and authentic feel to it. Yeah.
Like that's what I want, right? Like I want to feel like an old man is going.
As a librarian,
because I'm a bookish person,
right? We're both bookish people, for sure. As a librarian, I wear these shirts to work, and I get compliments on them all the time. So if you want your own cool shirts, go to beawesomereadbooks.com. And for the month of September, you can use the code HELLOBESTIES to save free shipping on your order.
Shut up, free shipping?
Free shipping. Your girl loves free shipping.
Same.
I will pay extra to get free shipping.
I will pay that extra $10. All right, besties.
You use the code. The shirts are really high quality. They will not shrink. They are size.
Tag us on the socials when you buy it.
XL. Yes, please. Yeah,
we can't wait to see them, guys. All right.
All season long, we'll have deals for you.
All season.
All right, back to your episode.
And the intro definitely faked you out. It's me and Katie, guys. Sorry.
Hi.
I know we told you last week. We're so sorry. We love Katie. Katie's the best.
Sorry, not sorry.
Did I see your shirt say shiny? Like Firefly? Yes. Shiny.
My shirt actually says shiny, hiney.
Shiny.
Shiny, hiney. And then at the bottom, it says America's second most famous crack. Next to the Liberty Bell. So if you're familiar with the Mothman from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, my daughter and I stopped when we went down to visit April when we met Olivia Dade, and we took several mildly inappropriate pictures with the Mothman statue. But the statue has like dumpies. Like it has got like a booty. So there's a whole...
He's got cheeks for days.
Cheeks for days. People put money in his crack to support the museum. So it's the most famous crack after the Liberty Bell. Second most famous crack. So
you know, that reminds me of, did you watch Will and Grace?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Karen would pull out her credit card. Swipe, swipe. Yes. Approve.
Approved, yes.
Deny. Approved, yes.
Yes. What does your shirt say? Yours is cute. Oh, Carpe Librum.
It's my Carpe Librum shirt. It's the one I wore last week with April because my green shirt's still missing. I don't know where it is, but it's in this house.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Oh my God. There we go. I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
I'm going to track it down. So this week, gang, we are talking about the book Death of a Fairy Tale. Here, please, Tom. But the reason I'm mentioning this is the second time you and I have covered a fairy tale book because April didn't want to read it.
It's also going to be the last time we cover a fairy tale book if you keep bringing me shit like this. So there's there's that. So
I went to see who put it on our list, and it's just not there. It's just magically.
Yeah.
Just magically somehow it made it. It
was not me. I can guarantee it was not me.
And I'm regretting it, but it's probably me. So the new school year is going okay for you guys?
It is. So we've been in just about a month. We just finished fair at my house. So my kids don't show.
Is that like your county fair?
God. Yeah, like our county fair. We have one of the latest county fairs in the state. But we volunteer. So my kids, the school that my kids go to. What's that?
I was thinking because like our county fair isn't till like the end of the month.
Yeah. See, in Ohio, most of them are already over by now.
Mid.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like, but your weather changes, right? Like, correct. You'll get colder sooner.
Yes.
So hopefully that makes sense.
But yeah, we volunteered in the Barron Barn for quite a bit.
Yeah, you do that. Like, you do this whole like PTO mom thing, and I'm just like, ew. Like,
yeah, it was fun.
I do it sporadically, and then I regret it for like long periods of time. And then I do it sporadically, and then I regret it. But you're always on it, man. You're like, you're always parenting really hard.
I try to. It's important to me. Like, I can give my kids what they need, but there's some parents who can't. So I want to make sure that the parents who can't know that their kids are still going to be able to do it. So, yeah, that's why.
Look at you being a good human being.
I'm trying. And I'm still sick. Still coughing.
That's great. Yeah, because the kids are bringing home the cooties. That's what they do.
It went through the whole band. At one point, we didn't even have a tuba section because they were all sick.
A tubeless band is not a band.
Right?
There's no bottom. It's just...
I mean, we had a couple baritones that were able to pull it out. Like, shout out to the low brass. But, like, yeah, everybody was like,
it's hard.
Band? And it just, like, looked funny.
Because where's the kids struggling to carry an instrument the size of that?
And our two tuba players are, like, the cutest things ever. They're, like, these little sophomores, and I want to eat their faces. And I told one the other day, I was like, I want to eat your face. And he just looked at me. And Chloe was like, Mom, you can't say that to people. And I was like, it's a compliment. Not like actually.
I've noticed in our school, they're all like live size or smaller. Right?
Human to tuba ratio is off.
Always. Always. I don't know what it is, but it's the most adorable thing. It's like they're like, I can do it because I can do it. Because somebody told them, isn't that too big for you? You know that's how that happened. And then
somebody told them, maybe you want to do a trumpet. And they were like,
yeah.
Fuck you, I'm a Sousa.
No. I mean, that's why Livia carries all the dog food downstairs herself. Because I go, isn't that too heavy? Mm-mm. No, Mom.
Try me.
Oh, you saw that kid in action, though. I mean, when she was at your house. Like, that girl's just always the first person to volunteer and be like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
I made her go stand by the corn so that we could take a picture of how tall the corn was in comparison to Livy. I was like, go stand by that corn.
And the corn hadn't even finished growing yet.
The corn was even done growing. Livy was done growing, and the corn was not.
She's so over the, yes, Liv's petite aspect, and it's a whole new novelty for ROTC, group, right?
Yeah.
And she keeps showing them that she's like this little badass because they don't expect this petite little tiny blonde thing to just jump in. She's number one in push-ups, she's number one in sit-ups, she's number one in burpees, she's got the fastest mile. And like the guy that runs ROTC's for our army, and he's all like giving them hell last week, and he's like, Liv's not even breaking a sweat, and he goes, you think this is funny, Biggs? And she goes, I'm not laughing.
I'm just stepping up to the challenge, sir.
He's like, he told Piper later, he goes, if your sister keeps mocking me,
I promise I'm not mocking you, I'm just surviving.
It's just, if you knew her, it's a thing, man. It's a thing. So would you like a synopsis for this
week? I guess we should focus on...
we could just talk about baking, like we had been doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm planning on baking when we're done, when we get off of here.
I'm going to take a fat nap, and then I'm planning on baking.
I'm going to bake some cherry almond scones.
I want lots of pictures of them because I love scones.
So I couldn't find fresh cherries, and I've been hunting, so I found like the best frozen cherries I could, and I thawed them, and I sliced them, and I drained them, and like they're just
Are they like tart cherries?
Yeah, and I sliced, and I got sliced almonds, and I toasted them.
Oh, so
they're gonna be like it's gonna be num num num.
Oh, you will appreciate this. So at the fair, do you know what the Watkins line of like spices, and it's like an old
model.
Yeah, it's Watkins like April, but it's not them. But they had clear vanilla in like a big, and I was like, I'm buying that. And Steve's like, you have vanilla. I was like, this is clear. And he's like, I don't get it.
Yes, like, even.
It's clear vanilla.
So I go, Steve, close your ears. I went to the Amish market the other day, and she had the OG almond, like the good almond extract, not that imitation not almond that extract.
Alcohol, like,
Yeah. So like I have the good almond extract now. And so I'm going to use a good almond extract. I'm just ready for this. And Matt's really excited because he wants to grate the butter because he heard I was going to grate it instead of like, he's like, I want to try that.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
You know what I'm on the hunt for next? And you can like be on the hunt for it too. Reasonably priced vanilla paste.
I get mine at the grocery store.
Paste?
My grocery store has jars of it. And it's about the same price as the regular.
Girl, you bougie as hell. It's like hella expensive around here.
Oh, it's not here. But everything else is. So balance.
The balance is out, yeah.
Balance.
One cannot survive on vanilla paste alone, so.
So, death of a fairy tale, young.
Okay, let's do sorry. The synopsis. We're locking in.
Good. I will try. Death of the Fairy Tale is the first in the Mari Fable Mysteries. By the way, it is spelled M-A-R-I. So those who read the books probably went, Mary?
I texted you. It was like M-A-R-E or M-A-R-I.
Which, because why wouldn't we make this more difficult? Because this book was so awesome to begin with. We meet Mari as she is going into labor for her daughter, Wendy. Yeah, that. But we learn quickly, nothing in life is simple for Mari as she is an investigative reporter. Immediately after she has given birth to her daughter, things get odd quickly. Several babies just go missing in the hospital, and a woman in a cape helps her find these babies, just kind of leads her to them, like, magically. And, like, there's just the four of them in this office, and Mari's like, what the fuck is going on? Am I on drugs? Like, wait, what is this? While she's on maternity leave, a lot of supernatural events and related to classic fairy tales keep happening around her. Then the murders start. And her last name and her last name happens to be on them. A story for a fable is what it's saying. A story for a fable. And will Mari survive motherhood? Will she figure out breastfeeding? Because this is a big part of the book for some fucking reason. Will her mom stop dating inappropriate men? Let's talk about this book and this author.
Okay.
First question. Emily Fluke is new to Pod. This is her first novel in this series, which has 6 books. And then she's got a new series that has 3 books. What are your thoughts on Emily Fluke?
I'm a one and done girly for this. It's a... Oh, man, where's my bell? Oh, my bell's clear up here. Hold on. I forgot to bring it down. Yes.
We're pros, Tom. We're pros.
One and done for me. Like,
absolutely.
I didn't like the voice. I didn't like the characters.
Her writing feels immature.
Was so frenetic and... No, it was not where it was at
Her writing was so immature. Yes. It was so immature. For an adult novel, it felt very young.
Very juvenile.
And I don't mean it felt like she was writing for a younger audience, but for some reason, this is a novel for adults.
Right.
The math and the thought process just wasn't there for me.
Well,
and I definitely am not going to be reading her again.
From reading like Edward Underhill, that's a young, new adult type book. That voice was completely different, and the structure of that story. There was fantasy in that one. There was an element of things like that. And when you see these two books, you're like, I don't want to spend any more of my time on Emily Fluke books. Yeah.
I don't, especially with like the pace we keep on pod,
exactly.
You know, and the way you read, like we don't have time. Life is for DNFing. We are not wasting our time with bad books.
Yep.
And next week's book that April and I cover adds to that for me, but that's a whole nother problem.
And I'm going to fist fight you for that when I see you next, because I have in the chatty chat.
We're going to talk later about next week's book. This is our second fairy tale based book together, Katie. The last time was odd. And well, this time is also pretty odd. Was this what you expected it to be? Should we start trying this subgenre?
So, what are your thoughts here? Like, the next time you and I are on, I'm picking some shit out, and it's not going to be any fairy tale.
No. It's going to be a mystery episode.
Yeah. That first one that we read was just bizarre.
It was a victims group.
Yeah.
For fairy tale members, but it was reality show. This is real life, but it's fairy tale based, but the author is just shoving down all this preferences. Like, see, it's a fairy tale. Get it? Do you get it? Do you get it?
Yeah. Like, and I think too, like, because the words fairy tale were in the title. Like the other one we read, that one was How to Be Eaten, right? If I remember. Yes,
which was very subtle.
Yeah. So like, it was like, oh, okay, you finally got it. This one, like she like set it up. Like, this is going to be a fairy tale. Like, and then it's like from jump with the kitschy cliches, last name fable, like you knew what you were getting when you started this book.
She names the baby Wendy.
Right. And then that was the only Peter Pan reference through the whole damn thing, right? Like,
which I'm assuming because there's six books, they would get there eventually, but it's unnecessary. Here's the thing. I normally wouldn't praise How to Be Eaten, but How to Be Eaten at least was more subtle about it.
Yes.
Made the story
more
about what was going on and was more subtle about the underlining Bad Wolf, Pinocchio, princesses, whatever the storyline was for each thing was more subtle. This is like, look, the neighbor's name is Geppetto.
Right. Get that reference?
Pinocchio. Like, do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
Like, we get it. We get it.
I got a baby book called The Ugly Duckling. Let's go down that spiral.
Like, ugh.
Enough. Yeah.
The Goodread reviews keep calling it Grimm adjacent, the TV show. But the cheesiness and corniness made that hard for me to see. Agreed. Can you defend this viewpoint? Can you defend the Goodread readers?
No.
I can't.
Because Grimm is good. Like, that's just all.
Grimm
like,
is gritty. Grimm has this grit to it and this darkness to it. This was just popcorn.
Yeah.
It was trying to be campy without being campy.
Well, and, you know, Grimm fairy tales are not Disney fairy tales.
No.
Like, no. But the show Grimm, like you said, brings that grittiness from the original fairy tales. But this one just was like, we're going to make it cutesy. yeah. we are going to try and like integrate the struggle of a new mom to make this better and appeal to a certain set of readers. And it almost feels like a bunch of people were sitting around a table, like brainstorming, and everybody had to write down a fairy tale. And then they all just like put their post-it notes on the whiteboard and then made a big circle and was like, this is our universe. And encompassed all of them. When somebody should have done some fucking editing, like been like, okay, we're going to take this post-it off.
Yes.
Let's move this
like, post-it. All here. Of these stories don't need to be together.
And like, they don't tell the same. Like, Grimm fairy tales were, like, warnings about life and shit like that. None of these had, like, the same, like, with...
It's all about Mari. Like,
this is not how this works, so...
It's all about Mari, right?
Yes.
And circling Mari and following Mari. But those connections don't make you go, yes, she's the center point. We're like, right. Why are we... Why does this matter? You're constantly going, what?
Yeah.
Why? What? Why? Mm-hmm. Mari Rowan, since we're talking about her, maiden name Fable, is our lead in this novel. She's an investigative reporter and a new mom, like fresh out the box new.
Yeah.
Her story isn't just about mysteries and murders that follow her, but one of a new mother. Did we need this added storyline? The breastfeeding troubles, trying to sleep and balance a career with being a new mom and her husband's job and like, did we need the family struggle of being a new mom in this story to make this story better?
No, I didn't think so. I felt like, honestly, it felt like just they were trying too hard again. She was trying too hard again to make this relevant, like to appeal to a certain class. Like, mm-hmm. if you've had a baby, everybody knows what a shit show your life is. You're literally wearing a diaper, caring for someone in a diaper. The mm-hmm. breastfeeding is either the best thing you've ever done or the worst thing you've ever done.
It's going to ruin your life or it's going to make you feel connected to the kid.
And here's my thing, too. I want to know if Emily Fluke is a mother because, bitch, seriously. You cannot drink that much coffee and breastfeed a baby. It will make the baby agitated. Like,
I feel like she wanted to write a new mom story, and I feel like she wanted to write a fairy tale story, and yes. she was like, let's put them together. And this story, the being hunted by the fairy tales, mm-hmm. figuring out who it is, the Scooby-Doo mystery of all,
yeah.
her being an investigative reporter and just trying to be an investigative reporter, that story could have stood on its own.
Uh-huh.
100%. We absolutely did not need this sidetrack of Wendy and right. the struggle. And honestly, all this breastfeeding storyline did was turn me off as a reader, because if I'm not a new mom and I don't care about motherhood and I don't care about that process or that problem, this is not going to be relevant to me and I am not going to connect with the material.
Yep.
And so as a reader, you want your readers to be connected to you and what you're writing. And putting something that derisive in there is definitely going to split your readership.
Yeah. And then you're going to have women like us that have children that we know damn well none of this stuff was happening when you have a brain. No. Like,
you're barely asleep.
The one thing that just like chapped my ass, and I keep going back to this and I cannot forget it, is when she talks about they take the baby on the ferry and they don't bring a bottle. Are you kidding me?
They take that baby everywhere without a diaper bag. That baby is brand new, like a day or two old, and they're like out in the world with it.
No.
Like, no.
And in San Francisco, you're like, no. No.
No. No. No.
And that just felt like so in, like that was the final nail in the coffin where I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is not how, like, have you met a new mom? Like, you're so paranoid. You take everything. You don't forget a bottle. No. You forget like your third backup bottle.
You know who forgets a bottle? A mom on baby number four.
Right. Yeah. And then
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That not baby, not brand new
That's
mom.
Not a baby
brand
new moms. One.
No. Mari is estranged from her father's side of the family, and they really don't show up till after the birth of her daughter. Did you like this foreshadowing? Was it necessary? What did you think of this addition into the storyline?
I think it was definitely set up for more in the series. So it for was, me, yeah. Because about halfway through, I was like, yeah, I'm not reading any more of these.
It
was
I don't fucking care.
Just another throwaway plot point that I was like, I don't care.
It really was. Yeah. It really, honestly, it read as a filler story.
Yep. Yeah.
This is, we're adding this so you can connect book two and book yep. three and book four. Yep. It had nothing to do really with the plot line of this first book and nothing to do with the storyline.
Nope.
It's not like her dad even shows up. It's just. Right.
He just mentioned, and this henchman of his is doing
Johnson.
Characterization.
Yeah. It's unnecessary.
Completely.
The woman in the red hood, we learn, is the keeper of the stories. She, for all intended purposes, is Mother Goose.
Yep.
But she seems to be failing or keeps failing. She blames modern times, and we see her constantly trying to just fix the situation, but we don't realize what it is and what she's trying to do till the very end. Yeah. What did you think of all the hidden figures storylines that drove this? Like, was this like life-changing storyline plot driver? No. Like,
it for me, it confused things. Like a couple of times, I read mine on KU. And so I was mm-hmm. switching between my phone and my Kindle.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I had to like double check and make sure, was I in the same part of the story when I switched devices? Like, did my device sync? Because like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
I was like this with the audiobook. If I didn't pause, if I didn't pay attention to where I paused and I jumped back in, I'd be like, what?
What
and I'd rewind like a minute or so, and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
What?
And like, I felt like her voice, the hooded girl's voice, read very young, like teen.
Yes! But she's supposed to be ancient.
Right. Like, and I know she like had the physical being of a teenager, but then her voice should have come through as someone who has traveled through all of these years, and this is just her physical being. But her voice and the character was so immature, and I was like, the math ain't math in here. Like, it's not.
I'm gonna bring back an early pod rant. This shit's published and I'm not. This shit's published and I'm not. I just want everybody to know that.
Just saying.
Just saying. We have fairy tale personalities all around Mari.
Everywhere.
Geppetto lives in her building. She covers a story pre her daughter about going into labor about the ugly duckling murders. Yep. The coroner happens to be Quasimodo. He figured that out on his own, by the way. Like right. that whole, like, he figured out he was Quasimodo.
What?
And he's like, what?
Yeah.
We see the use of this, and like she's pulling from Mother Goose and the Grimms and Disney, and just like.
Pick a lane, Emily. Yep.
We see the use of the stories written even when Mari's curses, like she's using it even in the cursing, right? Even in the cursing.
I could not figure out that when she's like Ebenezer Scrooge. I was like, what the fuck is she saying?
Because, and then, so they were saying, said in the beginning that their boss doesn't like cursing in the
right.
in the room. So they use that as their curses. And I'm like.
But it was just dumb.
Again, child. So. Young writing. Young writing.
Yes.
Was this too much? Did she just hit us over the head with the fairy tales?
Yep.
Could she have been more subtle? And how?
So how, I have no idea. I'm not the writer. You would have to tell us that. Could she have been? 9,000%. Yeah. One thing that I think she really missed the boat on was using the city of San Francisco as a character.
Yeah.
San Fran is a hella cool town. The part it's where pretty, they go,
there's so much fun there.
There's a lot of history, but you have, you know, you that little tiny foray on Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it sets it up for later books, because like I said, I'm not going to read them again. But that, like, not using the city as a character was a big miss on this, because San Francisco is a cool city.
And we just last season covered a book that did this. Late Night at the Telegraph Club.
Yeah.
Made San Francisco livable, noticeable. Yeah. Like, this didn't need San Francisco as a backdrop, minus the fact that they went to Alcatraz. The only reason we need San Francisco. Other than that, like, the city didn't play a part at all in this book.
Talk about for a minute,
please.
When she destroys the crime scene.
Go for it. Go for it.
Like, you're like walking around a dead body. You're supposed to be an investigative journalist.
She also thinks
contaminating the fuck out of a crime scene. You fell. Your DNA is now on the crime scene.
She also, by the way, my new favorite fidget is these bookmarks from Carpe Librum, because they're so freaking quiet.
Yeah.
So not just that, she also thought and had the mentality that she was more important to the crime scenes than the police.
What?
I'm the one that's going to solve this, not them. Yeah. That was her demeanor.
Yeah. You're literally trained as a journalist. Okay. Like, you went to college for journalism. The people who like literally that's their job every day to solve murders and mysteries. You are more important in your sleep-addled, caffeine-addicted, new mom brain than a professional. Like,
no.
That's not how this works, boo-boo. This is not how that works.
Completely. So, my next question I actually saved for you and I to rant for April. Because if April had read this book, there was one specific scene that would have her through the roof right now.
Yes.
There's this scene I truly wish April had read in this book for just her honest opinions. So I need to hear her rant about this. Yes. So in this scene, we're in the library. Mari goes there to do some research. And when she gets there, she's asking about their supernatural books. And the librarian's like, oh, we don't carry those books. And then he's like, oh, wait, we have a section over there of all these books that we don't keep track of that, like, people bring in and out, and it's like a come as you go kind of thing. That might have it over there. So this librarian's trying to say that they have books that they don't care about or take care of in a library as librarians that are unlabeled, untracked, and uncared for by the librarians.
Lie.
This is a lie. Lie, 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 lie. If a librarian has a book in their library, it is their book. And if it's not their book, they're going to get it out of their library because they're library books. Continue, Katie.
Because, too, it's not just about the library books. Librarians are the keepers of the knowledge. We get the knowledge from the books. They are not going to not know what knowledge is available in their libraries. Like, we live in a small town in Central Ohio. We have an occult book section. It's on the fucking Dewey Decimals. Don't tell me that you don't track that. And this is one of those things that, like, has Emily
Sleuth ever been to a library? And Supernatural's kept in the fairy tales, by the way.
Yeah. There's a fairy tale section. Yeah. So, like, has she been to a library? Has she ever talked to a librarian? And like what?
Yeah. And rule number one of being an author, don't piss off the librarians.
Never. Don't piss off the librarians.
Why would you write this scene? Why would you write this scene?
And she wrote the librarian as kind of a mean nasty. And like, okay, there are some mean nasty librarians. But
I mean, we have a list. Kate, April has given us a list. We have some people we know.
Right. But at the same time, well, and two, one thing, and this is, I will be forever indebted to April for this. In my brain, before we became much closer, everybody who worked in a library was a librarian.
Yeah.
I had no idea about the education the learning, yeah. the specialization that all of them do, where the
tier person system.
Scanning the books is probably not a master's educated intellectual person. It's so when if you're going to paint a librarian, you better damn well be painting the smartest, most well-equipped, knows the Dewey decimal system backwards and forwards, or they're going to be coming for you, bitch. They will be coming for you. Like, don't do our librarians dirty like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Emily Fluke.
No.
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 We will give you a thumbs down. So.
Yeah. That's a new. And I feel like we did you well, April. You can add a clip here in if you want, Tom.
Yes.
Normally in these kinds of stories, murder mysteries, I mean, if we have a female lead, she's usually single or divorced.
Yes.
Something that made her makes her harder.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Mari being in a happy marriage to a teacher?
English teacher. I loved it. That was like the one character that I really liked was the husband. Like
that was the one unique thing I liked in this book.
And I liked it, like he was literally like grading papers and like I'm trying to teach ninth graders about like Shakespeare and you're up at 3 a.m. ranting about a murder mystery. He's like, fuck it, I'll stay up with you. That's fine. Yeah, the husband.
It's fine. I have a few papers to grade anyway. Just continue on your ramble. Like it was one that was realistic, but two, it actually made me like the book a little bit.
Yes. That was like
it made me like the book a little bit.
Quality was the husband. Right.
Like it made me like the book because she could have been a single mom. They could have made this like leaned into the murder mystery, hardened investigator thing.
But doing it all on my own. Yeah.
Right. But making her soft and a like a married woman who loves her husband and takes his last name. And that definitely just added a different angle to this I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. So I love the husband. He was the redeeming point in this entire book was the husband was great. So
in the end of this novel, the villain is, of course, her rival at work.
Literally had to Google as I'm reading it who the fuck that character was.
Because I forgot about him. And she becomes the...
Who is it? I literally thought it was going to be the good friend that she works with. I was like, oh, okay, it's her buddy that she works with, setting her up, not the rival.
Nope.
But it wasn't like one of those twists where I was like, oh, I was just like, who the fuck is this again? Who, what character is this?
But
who
is this? Also in this whole kerfuffle, she ends up becoming the new protector of the stories.
Of
the hood is taken off the hooded figure and put onto her and magically becomes a magic hoodie that she can't take off.
And she can shower with it?
So it's the Santa Claus, right? Santa Claus, the Disney Santa Claus, the Santa falls off the roof and you're the new fucking Santa now.
A much better story than this one.
Is it just all a little bit too predictable? Are we just setting up a story, the series? It's just...
Yeah. It just was not where it was at. Like, it just...
There was too many pieces in this book for me.
Yes, agreed. Too many things going on. And I understand setting shit up for the sequels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, but don't make the first book about the sequels.
No,
because that's what this felt like to me. That's what this felt like to me.
We're going
to
introduce all these characters, and we're going to give you a little snidgen of what she actually does, but it's to hook you to read the rest. And I'm like, I'm good.
But this feels like she had a game plan for 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay, book one, I just have to knock out so I can do these other stories. And she just kept throwing shit in, hoping it would work. And it's a fruit salad.
Or more post-its on the whiteboard. And everybody was like,
she made a fruit salad with onions, green peppers, and olives. And nobody wants that in their fruit salad.
Yeah. And they were like, this goes great with mandarin oranges.
Final thoughts. Did I miss anything? Wow, this is a short episode. That's okay.
No, you did not miss anything because this book was not that remarkable.
It was not.
Thank God it was a fast read because The time that I was stuck in that world was plenty for me.
It was difficult to be in that world because
it was very difficult. Yeah.
It was pulling teeth to stay in her world because it's immature writing. It was corny writing. And it was just, and it was just forced. It's like watching children on a play, do a play.
Yep. And then as soon as you get in your car, you're like, what the fuck was that? What did we sit through? Did you see the kid who was picking his nose as he was supposed to be in the tree?
And they like, just ate it? And you're like, why?
Who was like the diva fifth grader who was like killing it, but she's going to develop a drinking habit young? Like, that's what it felt like. And then you talk about it for like a week later and you're like, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
But like, I mean, we're still bitching about the other one, the support group.
How
one.
To be what eaten?
How to be eaten. We're still bitching about that. So like, I don't know. Okay, let's talk about what we got coming up.
Okay.
Next week, April is back and we are covering Heartless Hunters. This is a favorite of yours and April's, huh? Like, you guys love this book.
So good.
We'll talk about my opinions next week.
I loved it. And then, like, thank God it was on Kindle Unlimited, both of them, because, like, really? I was not waiting for the sequel. Like, two clicks, and I had that bitch ready in front of me. So, yeah.
I could honestly care less.
So disappointed in you.
After that, we are starting spooky season with Bury Your Gaze, which I am so excited about this book. And then we're gonna be covering Witchcraft of Wayward Girls with Chessie's back, guys.
I'm so jealous you get to hang out with Chessie again.
She's so excited for
this. Was so much fun. I really loved it.
The next time we have an April Fool's, maybe it'll be you two again.
All right, besties, this season of Book Besties is proudly sponsored by Carpe Librum.
The
one and only Carpe Librum. Bookish things for bookish people. So keep checking our social media and listening all season long for special perks and merch that you can get using discount codes.
Did you know what I learned?
What?
They make one of the coolest freaking bookmarks on the market.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
They have a 13-step process that is like a propriety to them.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them on the knockoffs on Amazon. They fall apart. Oh,
I have some knockoffs and they dent your book. So, so I haven't had a chance to check their bookmarks out yet, but I have four of their shirts. They're very comfy. They're all
size inclusive. I love their shirts.
They do not shrink. They're made here. They're made at their home shop. They screen print by hand.
My favorite part of their shirts is it looks like I could get tetanus from the typewriter that they use to make the font.
There's definitely like a real gritty and authentic feel to it. Yeah.
Like that's what I want, right? Like I want to feel like an old man is going
as a librarian,
because I'm a bookish person,
right? We're both bookish people, for sure. As a librarian, I wear these shirts to work, and I get compliments on them all the time. So if you want your own cool shirts, go to beawesomereadbooks.com. And for the month of September, you can use the code HELLOBESTIES to save free shipping on your order.
Shut up, free shipping?
Free shipping. Your girl loves free shipping.
Same.
I will pay extra to get free shipping.
I will pay that extra $10. All right, besties.
You use the code. The shirts are really high quality. They will not shrink. They are size.
Tag us on the socials when you buy it.
XL. Yes, please. Yeah,
we can't wait to see them, guys. All right.
All season long, we'll have deals for you.
All season.
All right, back to your episode.
Don't forget, guys, that we are doing free shipping with Carpe Librum all the month of September, and all you gotta use is the code HELLOBESTIES.
Hello.
I love that. HELLOBESTIES. Free shipping. So pretty awesome, yay, right?
Yes.
All right. Katie, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. We don't come at me with these shit books no more, Biggs, or I'm coming for you.
I blame April. She's the one that asks you to tag it on that. Biggs. Yeah. Well, thank you. I love you, April.
I love you.
All right. Bye, besties.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of Nurse Katie and Molly, not those of anyone else. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Carpe Librum, the shop that has bookish things for bookish people. And right now, you can get free shipping by using the code HELLOBESTIES, which is good for the month of September. Today's book was Death of a Fairy Tale by Emily Fluke. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Brigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.